Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 80.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
Thanks for listening in today. This episode is brought to you by Just Uno, an incredible Shopify app. Do you want your on-site lead capture to drive more revenue, delight shoppers, and convert more visitors? Then you have to check out Just Uno. They're an on-site visitor conversion platform that has been designed to help businesses like you collect more leads and take their customer journey to the next level. You want to learn even more? You should totally check out episode 21, where I've interviewed the co-founder and CEO, Eric Christensen, about how retailers can maximize their traffic and revenue and stop leaving money on the table. You know, getting the promotional strategy isn't always easy, and that's where Just Uno Plus comes in. You get exclusive access to AI-powered product recommendations, plus a dedicated conversion strategist for support and optimization. And for listeners looking to take their business to the next level, Just Uno is now offering 15% off exclusively for e-commerce Fastlane listeners. So go to justuno.com, use the coupon code Fastlane15. That will give you 15% off, and you can start optimizing your conversion rate today. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is Eric Huberman, who is the founder and CEO of an agency called Hawk Media. And they're a digital marketing agency. And what they do is they offer data-driven and performance-focused solutions for businesses, e-commerce businesses of all sizes, all industries, and all revenue models. So we're going to dig deep into some of their strategy and tactics that he is implementing today. And they really do refer to themselves as their outsourced CMO. So I'm looking forward to digging into that. So hi, Eric. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I mentioned at the top of the show a bit, but on a high level, let's talk about like what does Hawk Media do and what problems are you trying to solve for Shopify brands?
Yeah, so basically what we found is most brands and most companies just basically globally don't have a good time getting access to great marketing. Most of the best marketers out there, if it's an individual, they're generally joining a really sexy startup or a Fortune 2000. And if it's an agency, most of the best agencies won't work with small and medium businesses, including startups. And so we just found that like the entire ecosystem around getting marketing help, if you're not already a big business, is nearly impossible, and wanted to solve that. Wanted to, you know, as we put it, we wanted to create accessibility to great marketing for everyone. And so how we did that was we basically recruited and trained and created an environment where great marketers want to work, because a lot of the times from our angle, they get to work on about average six companies at the same time, because what we do is fractional. Right. And really fun marketers really like that, like the change of experience, pulling from different knowledge, et cetera, and working with a bunch of other marketers versus necessarily being on their own island in a brand that they are the main marketer and there's no one else there. Mm-hmm. So we found that we can attract a certain type of talent and then, you know, in a way, hire them out to these companies that wouldn't normally be able to track them themselves by any means. And there are people are willing to work with them because they get to work with them, but also some other cool brands. And it's not such a barrier to entry. And so that was the thesis. And, you know, we've grown fast. 6 years, we've got about 180 people and offices in LA, New York, and Boston.
That's awesome. And it kind of, I totally agree with you on that, because I feel that there's a lot of, I don't say Jack or Jack and Jills of all trades out there, just kind of generalizing marketing instead of being a subject matter expert. And I think that's where you're suggesting is that these team members that you're hiring, they get to double down and focus on the area of expertise that they're really, really, really good at. And I think that shows and shines in the execution of the work they do.
That is part of the thesis, is deep expertise. Like, you're a Facebook marketer or you're an email marketer. You're not just a jack of all trades, which we all know leads with or ends with master of none. The idea is you are an expert.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the journey leading up to the launch of Hawk Media. Can you, like, what do you believe uniquely positions you and the founding team? I guess a couple things, like, number one, to have the expertise. Number two, to have the desire to even want to build this.
Yeah, no, it's funny. And I'm going to say something that sounds conceited and it's not meant, but I'm one of the only guys that built an agency after building and selling multiple brands. I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't met an agency owner that comes from successfully launching and building brands. Usually they continue to do that, or they end up advising and investing in other brands. They don't go and start a service business because it takes a certain type of masochist to want to serve everyone you work with.
Yeah, true enough.
I enjoy it, just to be clear. I actually really like this. I mean, that's how it got started, is like I built and sold two digital fashion brands, e-commerce brands, and then started advising and consulting for other companies while I figured out what I want to do next. And then just realized this pain point that I started with, which is, you know, the whole idea of accessibility, and decided to just start calling my friends that I knew through the industry and saying, hey, I think I could do something here. I need a SWAT team. Can we build this out? And what started with seven people and a little, you know, marketing SWAT team of different expertise, like Facebook marketer and an email marketer, a web designer, et cetera, slowly built, or actually quickly built, because we realized, you know, the pain point that I thought was there was absolutely there, and nobody was finding access to good marketing.
So let's talk about strategy, because I think it changes quite a bit. And so how do you feel that it's changed now? How has it changed maybe over the last few years?
Yeah, it's drastically changed, I'd say. And what happened was we went through this, let's say 15, 20 year window where it was Google for a while, then it was Facebook, and then it was both. You could spend money on them, arbitrage it, and literally spend a dollar, make four, make five, make $10. And that was just how people started getting used to digital marketing, was just finding a way to get that ROI and just scaling that way. And so there were, funny enough, in our business, there's a ton of agencies that just focused on Facebook marketing that popped up all over the place. It was a very unique place in time, because traditionally, the only companies that were able to do that kind of ROI-driven marketing were as seen on TV companies that would milk it till they could, as long as they could, and shut it down. And that was the business. And it wasn't a brand-building exercise. And so what we're seeing now is a lot of the companies that subscribed to that early on, some made a lot of money. There's guys like Movement Watches that bootstrapped that company from a Kickstarter, built it off Facebook ads, and sold it for $200 million. Like, they're awesome. Love that. But then there's companies like Dollar Shave Club, an Honest Company, that have never turned a profit because they built that model of, it was too DR, too direct response, and not focused enough on building a brand and an ecosystem. And so what's happened now is the cost to advertise has increased, because all the big players have stepped into these, what used to be very open playing fields like Facebook and Google. Now, you know, I think it was 2 years ago was the first year that people spent more marketing dollars on digital than traditional. And so now you have all the competition, so the price goes up the way that's built. And so the results aren't there. So unless you're doing the things to build a brand now, you're not competing. And what's nice for us is we've always focused on the full funnel. But if you just focused on Facebook ads, you are struggling. And what we're actually seeing now, as of, you know, the end of last year, the beginning of this year, is what we call a lot of boomerang clients, that we help them build a full funnel. And then they're like, well, we're just going to focus on Facebook ads and do it ourselves. And now we're a year later, they didn't do all the other things we were trying to do. And they're coming back going, oh, shit. Oops,
so I guess the whole concept of life cycle marketing comes into the equation.
Yeah. Email marketing, SMS, chatbots, content. Branded content is massive, because that's a great way to build word of mouth, because people share that content faster than just going to share a product page. It's a great way to get people engaged above and beyond a purchase decision. So your existing customers increasing their lifetime value, potential customers, and getting higher conversion. Like, it is a really good thing. The problem is you can't really tie a direct ROI to it. So it's like, if we spend $5,000 on content, you're not going to make 10, and a lot of people are spending
$10. So how do people decide when it's time to maybe outsource some of their marketing versus, you know, versus hiring in-house?
I'd say it goes through stages. So unless the founder is a marketer, the one that and this has been highlighted by a lot of like early stage VCs we work with, most people that aren't marketers, hiring a marketer and vetting them is really hard, just like it is a developer. Like, you don't know what you're hiring. I actually just saw anecdotally, I won't name the person, but someone I know has no idea what they're doing in marketing, just get hired as the head of marketing because they're like a socialite. Yeah. It's like, that's not going to work out. And so people just don't know what they're looking for, but it's such a nuanced thing. So vetting to hire that internal person in the beginning is super hard. So I usually believe you should hire a service business first, and the founder should be driving it, because sales is all that matters in the beginning. You've got to be able to sell your product. So getting a partner that's a good agency, that's done what has been where you want to go, and has actually gotten companies there, like that's the way to vet them. Like, have you actually taken a company from us to where I want to be? Or at least the first stage, that's super important. And then for after a while, it'll get busy. And that's when you hire someone internal that's more of a, you know, coordinator kind of like touch point for the agency that can help manage them. And then what we see is then you bring a few things in-house, then you end up bringing someone senior on later. But bringing on someone senior early, you don't have the sort of war chest for them to work with. So like, oh, you know, I've seen brand new startups hire, you know, this is an example, a hypothetical, but like the former CMO of Pepsi. Like that person's used to billion-dollar budgets. You like that is a complete waste of talent. Like have them as an advisor, but them working full time, that doesn't help.
I see. And then so as far as Hawk Media is concerned then, so the idea is as a brand matures, outsource a little bit of it. And then over time, do you find that you have some mature brands that still kind of use your services on a very, almost like a separate vertical of if it's just Facebook or if it's just content or if it's just Messenger bot? Do you have people that are engaging you that way just for one little expertise?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the whole idea. Again, accessibility is a big word for us. If that's all they need, that's all they need. Now, we're going to be consultative and agree or disagree, but sometimes that is 100% what people come to us. Actually, quite a bit of time is they come in and go, you know, hey, listen, we have all this handled. We work with some amazing companies and some Fortune 100s and some people that definitely have almost everything handled, but not necessarily one thing. So like sometimes we become a sandbox for a bigger company that like hasn't experienced podcast marketing yet. And so they go, hey, why don't we just hire you for that? We're happy with that. Smaller businesses, a lot of the times it's like they can only afford one thing to start. And so we kind of piece it out and go, well, let's start with this, set this up, do this. Like, that's
so I
just
see that you are speaking at a lot of conferences, a lot of meetups. And I also see that, you know, Hawk Media is, I guess you're involved in a lot of these virtual summits and webinars. And I see that you're now taking almost an active role now in cannabis and CBD. And so what do you think has driven the success of your company?
You know, I'd say, you know, a few things. One, just doing the right thing for the right reasons. Reputation is everything. And so trying not to screw people, trying to make people happy, trying to do good work, being long-term focused really is the way to put it. Like I'm not building this to sell it quickly. I have sold other businesses, but like, I feel like I found my calling. And the combination of being able to grow this business, work with amazing brands and businesses, meet entrepreneurs, is my job is to go around and work with other brilliant people. It's kind of, and bring my talent to the table. Like it's super fun. And I have a venture fund. And there's a lifestyle component to this that's awesome. Like I don't think I want to do anything else. I love my team. Like it's fun. So with that means my biggest current concern, if someone says what keeps you up at night, it's like, how do I make this sustain the next 30 years? So that's a big part of it. And that drives different decision making than I want to sell in three. Like if I don't profit last year because I gave really good bonuses and built a better office for my team, that feels better than like, oh, I put another $1 million on the EBITDA.
It sounds like exactly the same mindset that Shopify has. You know, Toby's been very clear about wanting to build a 100-year-old company. And so how do you build a 100-year-old company? And that's part of it. He talked about people and culture and just passion towards growth and, you know, being merchant focused and trying to make commerce better for everyone. And so it sounds like you're in good alignment and synergy there. So let's talk about some tactics now. People listening today, there's certainly a diverse range of listeners. So if you could give some advice, because you obviously deal with lots of merchants, if they're in an early stage entrepreneur on Shopify, what sort of advice would you give them today to help them grow?
Anyone starting a business, I feel like you have to find that like unique competitive advantage that's going to help you grow. That's not just, we're going to go spend money on ads and throw some emails out. Like you really got to find your special sauce. And you know, I know that term gets thrown around a lot, but it's like, why you? Like, I've realized mine in hindsight, which I kind of explained, like the reason we've grown fast as well is I was aspirational for our clients in the beginning. I had already done what they want to do. So it's really easy for me to go, hey, I can help you. Cause like, it wasn't bullshit, which it is a lot of the time. It was like, no, I did this. I can tell you how I did it. I'm happy to share. I already sold it. Like, let's do this. So, and then it worked. And so that was self-perpetuating. When it comes to whatever you're launching, like if you're launching a fashion brand, you better be a great designer or a great socialite, or have a ton of connections to get it out there. Something that makes it so that all else equal, you're going to win. So if you have the same funding, the same blah, 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 you're going to win because you always have competition that are doing other things and doing it in different ways. And like your way has to have, you have to have like a foot on the scale is kind of what we talk about. Like we now have that venture fund and we only invest in companies that we give a way unfair advantage to. You know, a lot of software is a complement what we do, because if we see a software we really like, we have 500 clients. We'll roll it out across most of them. And so if we're going to do that, we might as well invest too, because we're going to spike that business like crazy. So it's those kind of things when you're starting a business, like, why are you going to win at this? Good ideas are a dime a dozen. It's like, why is execution going to be better with you than someone else?
So let's talk about some tactics now. People listening today, there's certainly a diverse range of listeners. So if you could give some advice, because you obviously deal with lots of merchants, if they're in an early stage entrepreneur on Shopify, what sort of advice would you give them today to help them grow?
Again, the marketer should be focusing on two things, or I'm going to say two things to try to simplify it, but it's a combination of how am I building my community and how am I driving sales? Like, it can't just be one or the other. It's got to be both. Because if you're not building community, which is literally one of our core values, you're going to have a short life cycle, because the moment ads go up, you misjudge a funnel. I've seen, like, how many companies collapsed when Google changed its algorithm. Like, that, when you rely on one revenue generator and haven't built a brand and a community, you're screwed. And like, the test of time does not favor those who just go DR. So doing, but you also need to drive revenue. So you got to do both. And you've got to educate. If you're in a middle market company and you're a marketer, you have to manage up and down, that those are the priorities. And you have to make sure that your CEO understands that, because I know this because I'm fortunate enough to be the CEO of a big marketing company, that I get involved in a lot of peer groups that are CEOs of non-marketing companies. Most even like I'm in YPO as an example, which is a great organization called Young Presidents Organization. And the average revenue in that organization is $70 million. But when I go into a room and talk marketing, it's a lot of blank stares, because they're not marketers, they're business owners. And so understanding that that's who you're working with as a marketer in a big company is that owner doesn't necessarily understand what the hell you're doing. And just explaining that is really important. Because the reason I say that, the average tenure lifetime of a marketer in a Fortune 500 is 18 months.
I've noticed that looking in LinkedIn, to be quite honest with you, because it's pretty people hopping around. So let's talk about the future for Hawk Media. You said you've been in business now for just over 6 years, you mentioned?
I've been in business for just over 6 years. 6 years and 2 weeks.
Excellent. So do you have any North Star, any highlights you can talk about? Maybe the 2020 roadmap or service map, partner alignment? I'm just curious to see if what sort of things do you feel you're going to innovate on over the next year or so?
Yeah, we're super excited. Honestly, full transparency, and I know that's how you introduced this podcast, 2018, our fifth year in business, we had no idea what the hell we were doing. We grew 50% that year, but we went from like basically very clear goals, this bottom-up approach of like, we're just going to solve this problem real quick, to like, and now how I'm articulating, it's very different how I talk about it back then, where it's just like, yeah, we're a month-to-month a la carte marketing services. And that got us 4 years in and grew. We hit every metric we wanted to. We crushed it. And then it was like, okay, what now? And what we're clear on now, and what took some time, is this is a hole in every market everywhere. Is like, how the hell do I, you know, I have this business, how do I market it? What is marketing? Who do I hire? Like, it's tough. And so now we look at like the big four accounting firms as an example of like, there's very clear brands in the accounting space of like, you can go hire some random bookkeeper off the street, which is actually even a better market because at least there's a CPA regulation, but you can go with a very established brand. And so there's not that in marketing on the SMB side. Of course, there's Omnicom and WPP and the big guys, but no one's grabbed the small and medium business market for marketing. And it's because it's a hard market to serve. It's a lot of volatile CEOs that a lot of times are first time and don't know what they have. So it's a little hard, but at the same time, that's a huge market. So the way we're attacking that is, you know, as I mentioned, we've opened Boston and New York and LA, and now we're looking at somewhere between 3 and 5 more offices this year. On top of that, we're doing a ton of M&A. We're going to probably be international in the next few years and, you know, really guiding by this North Star of accessibility to great marketing for everyone. We know that they want us to be local, so being in other territories is super important too.
Well, e-commerce Fastlane and Shopify are both in Canada. Are there opportunities for Canadian office?
Absolutely. No, I'm actively, I actually just went on a heliboarding trip in Eastern BC outside of Nelson with a bunch of Canadian entrepreneurs in Toronto and
Excellent.
Vancouver. So
Excellent.
Absolutely going to be in Toronto and Vancouver as soon as possible. That'll probably be the first international expansion because it's a lot easier than going overseas, but it's still a lot of learnings coming to play.
That's excellent. So, because I'm in Vancouver, so I'll be dropping by your office for sure.
I love Vancouver.
So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but and you've given us a lot of value, but can you give us any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
If you're a new entrepreneur, the idea is just get shit done, like go for it, try things out, test things, keep moving. Like that's the, you get that advice all the time, but that's super important. But the guys that are more actually up and running, always, always, always be testing and trying new activities. Because the one thing after 6 years of managing other people's marketing and, you know, 12 years of running e-commerce brands, I see a lot of problems come up when people get really comfortable in their zone, because marketing landscape changes all the time. Really keep looking for that vein, spend 5 or 10% of your budget on shit you know is not going to return, and just keep moving.
Yeah, it's almost like life of learning, or, you know, almost just being a constant learner, I think, is key to this whole business. I find that too, being merchant facing in my day job with Shopify Plus, dealing with the merchants. They, you know, they just sometimes they don't know what they don't know, and I have to learn too. And it's a nonstop iterative process. So how can people learn more about Hawk Media and how you can help them grow and scale?
I'm on all social media channels as @Eric Huberman, ERIKHUBERMAN, or hawkmedia.com, hawkemedia.com.
And we did speak offline before recording. I'm going to redirect ecommercefastlane.com/hawkmedia, and it's going to redirect to a landing page to offer a free marketing audit or consultation. Can you give us some of the details on that?
Yeah, basically, you know, we are always happy to like jump in and really help coach a company and see like where their blind spots are, where they could use some help, and like give them some feedback on their marketing. Frankly, it's a sales process for us. If we can help them, we're happy to. If not, that's cool. Like, we're long-term focused again. So we're just happy to do an audit and give some feedback.
Beautiful. Well, thanks again, Eric, for coming on the show today. I just, you know, really appreciate your obvious passion for wanting to help Shopify brands. And, you know, kudos to you and the team, and looking forward to your international expansion.
Thank you very much. Sounds great.
Looking to scale your e-commerce business and implement some proven strategies to grow your brand? Don't forget about our podcast sponsor, Just Uno, the leading on-site visitor conversion platform. If you're interested in optimizing your website experience with AI-powered product recommendations, intelligent personalization, and a bunch of other amazing features to help you grow and scale, head on over to justuno.com. Don't forget about the exclusive e-commerce Fastlane discount, 15% off. Use the coupon code FASTLANE15. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.